Okay, go to HeroNow.org if you can right now to see the source of this sound. It's the southern caracara bending its neck back, laying its head right against its back. So odd. Odder still, the striated caracara, a species of this bird of prey found only in the Falklands, as we're told by someone who's spent rare time with them, ornithologist and member of the Texas band Shearwater, Jonathan Myberg.
When the swallows fell from the hills, and the calls from the spire, the starlings and the millions of feet on the ground where they lie.
After college, Jonathan won a fellowship to document community life at the ends of the earth, including the Falklands, where Darwin first saw striated caracaras 200 years ago. Jonathan would later travel down a river in Guyana and cross Chile to find all 10 species, but the striated, which have been compared to mischievous monkeys, is endangered. And Jonathan, your book about your journey is A Most Remarkable Creature, The Hidden Life and Epic Journey of the World's Smartest Birds of Prey. What was it like the first time you saw the striated up close?
These birds, when I met them, just absolutely caught me dead in my tracks. I had never seen anything like them. And they look something like a combination of a crow and a hawk. They just don't act the way you think of a bird of prey acting, or any wild animal for that matter. They come right up to you. They look at you like they've got as much right to be there as you, and they, if you sit down, they might start trying to take things out of your bag. They look right into your eyes with this sort of uncanny consciousness. And I was just astonished by them from the moment that I saw them.
What was that like to be around this bird?
I had had some vague idea of the Falklands as this cold, kind of barren place where there was a war when I was a child. What I didn't know is that there are almost 800 islands in the Falklands. And some of them have preserved conditions that have been there for thousands of years, thronged with seabirds, penguins, albatrosses, and I'd never seen anything like it. So then to meet the caracaras as part of this environment, that they were living among all these seabirds and seals and everything, but they seemed to have been minted from some different mold or something. They just didn't, almost sudden like they didn't belong, like they'd ended up there by mistake. And you add that to their curiosity and their general sort of charm. I mean, they'll play games with you. Sometimes you'll see a shadow sort of merging with your own shadow below you, and then look up and there'll be one dangling just like about a foot or two over your head, just wanting to tap you on the top of the head and then fly away, like they're trying to play tag with you.
Well, they've been compared to dogs. They have some sort of intelligence. Darwin saw them and thought they were, what, fake eagles. You know, like, you're not really
eagles,
false eagles, right?
Well, Darwin actually spilled more ink about these birds in The Voyage of the Beagle than he did any other bird. He was really struck by them. They stole hats and, most memorably, a small cater's compass in a red Morocco leather case, which was never recovered, and flying off with them. So what you see when you're reading Darwin's account is these animals meeting human beings for the first time and trying to figure out what to do about us.
And they are somewhat endangered. We'll pick up on that. But as you continue to your travels to find there's 10 different species of the caracara. You also traveled with a young researcher you discovered through his online lecture. Red-throated caracaras are way cool because they are the wasp-murdering superheroes of the rainforest.
Yes. I should say that caracaras are sort of like what South America has instead of crows. They're falcons, essentially, but it's like somebody built a crow on a falcon chassis. And in the tropics, there's a very special one of these caracaras. It's called red-throated caracaras. And they eat almost entirely nothing but wasps' nests. And I met this researcher, Sean McCann. I contacted him and said, would you want to go back down to where you studied them in the Guyanas? And he agreed, sight unseen.
So you become two wacky guys floating down a river with wasps and super spiders looking for these birds, and you see them. But I want to jump ahead in your story, because not all of the species of the caracara are endangered, but the striated are, and as you describe it to us, it has a lot to do with the geography of where they are, hemmed in by rising seas. And you have a light bulb moment in Brooklyn where you see a marching band of what seems like immigrants, and you have this idea that maybe they could be brought here.
The band that I saw marching around the corner was a group of people from the highlands of the Andes. And throughout the Andes, there are different species of caracaras in the highlands, some of which were venerated by people like the Inca. But I was looking at this group of people who were preserving this cultural tradition from a place that was very, very far away, and thinking about how striated caracaras might be transplanted to another place and that they might be able to survive there. A question that many people have when they meet striated caracaras is, why aren't these birds everywhere? And as you said, they're kind of hemmed in at this bottom corner of the world. There's not anywhere really for them to go, as opposed to ravens, which inherited the northern hemisphere where there's land everywhere. So what could we do that would allow these birds to survive? Why is it important, though, that these birds survive? The extinction of one animal species or another doesn't affect most people in our everyday lives. And yet, when you meet them, it's very easy to become convinced that it's essential that these animals live. They represent something so strange and so beautiful that's managed to figure out environments and climate and everything over such a long period of time, that since it's kind of our fault that they've become so restricted, it's on us to save them. As seas rise, we talk about climate refugees as a human problem, and it is, but it's also a problem for non-human living things. Everything that lives on islands is threatened.
Well, and to underscore their intelligence, they gather in groups to turn over boulders to search for prey. You say no other birds have ever been seen cooperating, you know, to lift heavy objects. I mean, when I read that sentence, the next scene I see is they run en masse and pick up a, you know, an automobile from a pedestrian. You know, they're so incredible. But they're endangered. What do you want people to do?
Well, one of the things I really took away from this entire journey was a sense that the world is much less known than we think. The entire world does not live on the internet. The entire world does not even live in books. Not everything that is known is written, and not everything written is known. If there's anything I want people to come away with, it's an interest in looking outside of the things that we're just told are important.
You talk of people who have brought caracaras to bird preserves. One, Tina, you know, she could fetch toys. I mean, just amazing. Have you ever thought of getting one? Or is that, would that be the opposite of how you feel about this bird?
That's not possible for all kinds of reasons, but the people who do live with them develop these extraordinarily intense relationships with them that are like friendships. These birds want company. They want friends. And they'll take you. Despite the fact that 600 million years of evolutionary time lies between them and us.
That's Jonathan Myberg, a musician in the Texas bands Shearwater and Loma, but also author of the new book, A Most Remarkable Creature, The Hidden Life and Epic Journey of the World's Smartest Birds of Prey. Jonathan, it was just a delight. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Evan. Thank you.